This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
Welcome back to the Oddball Aussie Podcast. I'm your host, Oz Oddball. Thank you for joining me. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, Yowie, all those names that you want to call them. Whether you believe in them or not, it doesn't really matter. This should be a fun show regardless. We're going to check out all the different sides of it. A bit of an update show. We haven't done Yowies and Sasquatch for a while. And we'll also be covering some new theories, some new sightings, and the second half, we're going to talk about some new documentaries I've watched about them that I thought were quite interesting. So hang around to the end and I hope you enjoyed this new episode. What you just heard just then wasn't my microphone stuffing up. It wasn't me going crazy here in the studio. It was the recordings that were made by Al Berry and Ron Moorhead in 1971, somewhere between Lake Tahoe and Yosemite National Park, also better known as the Sierra Sounds. Well, that was a short clip of them. You can find the full Sierra Sounds all over the internet. There's a lot of different places for it, but definitely if you can find the original stuff and the stuff where Al Moorhead or Al Berry rather and Ron Moorhead are actually talking about it, that's the much more interesting stuff. So obviously that stuff was a lot longer back, and if you're interested in knowing anything about the Sasquatch stuff as an initial theory, as initial conversation, I have done some episodes that are about that. So just search those old episodes and you'll find something that'll take your liking, I'm sure. So so it took a little bit to get this episode out. I've been a little bit sick, so I know, no excuses, but I'm doing a lot better now, so I didn't really want to be on here coughing into the microphone and feeling sick the whole night. So I'm sitting here with my eggnog, and I would say not even December yet, but I love Christmas and I'm counting down the days. So all right, before we begin, make sure you are follow me on Twitter at Aussie Oddball. Also on the Instagram, it's at Aussie Oddball. You can find me on YouTube, the Oddball Aussie Podcast, and also you find this show anywhere good podcasts are found. You can also follow me on Facebook, but there's not much going on over there. I don't really use it that much. And you can also have a look at the TeePublic store, the Oddball Aussie Podcast. If you type it in TeePublic, you'll find my merch in there. Some really good stuff. Stickers, shirts, all that fun stuff. All the money goes directly back into the show. And also, if you have any encounters or any stories that you'd love to share with me, I'd love to share them on the show. So please send them to theoddballaussie@hotmail.com. Or if you'd just like to have a chat, or if you'd like to come on the show with something you've seen or something you've been through, if you're another podcast, or if you're an artist or a developer or anyone, if you want to come on the show, I always have an open door to come on the show and talk about just weird shit and shoot the breeze. So that's also a big shout out to the network that I am a part of. That is Straight Up Strange Productions. Please make sure you check out Straight Up Strange Productions, all the great shows over there, and it should fill up your week full of podcast goodness. Also, make sure this tonight, a couple of shout outs for a few groups that I haven't really spoken about before, but a lot of data from AYR, which is Dean Harrison's official page for the Australian Yowie Research Group. That's yowiehunters.com. And you can also, I've also gotten a bit of info from the BFRO, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. Now, I know there's a little bit of argy-bargy between groups out there, but I'm not really in on the politics of all the different groups, but I do know those websites are pretty handy to go and check out. And yeah, I'll also shout out a couple other places as we go, and we've got some pretty interesting theories, and a couple of theories I've been sort of bouncing around in the old in the oddball, if you will, and yeah, so and a couple of really good documentaries I recently saw that got me thinking about some stuff. All right, so we're going to begin with a couple of videos that sort of sparked my interest again. So the video of the Russian Bigfoot encounter caught on tape. Now, I remember seeing this years ago as a different video. It was all Russian captioned. So it was all in, it was supposed to be in Chechnya. The video was called Chechnya rather, but it was in Cyrillic. Script. So it was really hard to read, understand, but the video still made waves when it came out, and that would have been well over, I want to say about 5 years ago or more, but there's a newer version from 2019. It's been cleaned up a little bit, so check it out. I'll put links in the description below. I'll also put links on the Twitter page. So that's a Russian Bigfoot encounter caught on tape. And you see this thing sort of just go through the woods, and it has these long legs, long arms, like a howler monkey. Really, really interesting, but much too big to be a howler monkey. And that area of the world, not really known for having many monkeys up there. Obviously, once again, all of these could be complete hoaxes, or just for tonight, maybe entertain yourself and believe that it's all real. Because a lot of people do think it's real. This one's a really good video, and I want you all to check that out. And just to spark your interest, another one that's fairly controversial, and this is from, well, this I saw it uploaded on last year. Yeah, I saw it around about start of the year, would have been about February last year. I saw it. It was the Salt Fork Ohio Grassman, which is another name for Sasquatch around the Ohio area, and it's just sort of a big beast walking through the woods. This one I'm a bit more skeptical about, but it is very interesting nonetheless. So once again, links in the description and on my Twitter page will be there, and you can definitely go and check that out. A little documentary there too, only 10 minutes, where they use their drone footage. Go and check it out, and that is on behalf of We Do It Outdoors, which is a pretty good channel. Definitely check them out. They're growing very quickly, so really enjoy their stuff. I enjoy their stuff more for the outdoors stuff. Half the reason why I'm into all this weird stuff is more reason to get outside and explore two things I really love, and that's nature and history. So I love all the ghost stuff because it takes me to weird and wonderful old buildings, and maybe we get to see something paranormal. And likewise, I love all the cryptid stuff because it gets me out in the bush, it gets me out in the wilds and seeing things that maybe I've never seen before. A lot of fun, regardless. And the last video that I've gotten this trio to get you all interested again, to get the conversation flowing again, was one from Idaho again. No, that last one was Ohio. This one's from Idaho, and this was a newer sighting. So this was only filmed 2 months ago. And this is on the Independent TV, so the Independent News website. The Independent newspaper's website, I should say, and it claims to show the sighting of a new Bigfoot. This one, once again, could just be a person in a suit, very well made, and it was uploaded on the Independent by Oliver Browning, I believe, and I'm not sure of the original footage. So if anyone wants to claim it, make sure you let me know. And very, very interesting stuff. If it is real, holy crap. If it is real, then it's definitely probably one of the cleanest videos we've seen ever. All right. So why would I be into this sort of thing? Well, you know, as I said, I wouldn't say I'm one that's head over heels about it and believes every little thing. I really don't believe everything. I think there's a lot of stuff that can be misconstrued, or a lot of things that can be taken out of context, or people's senses can get the best of them, and they can see things that weren't really there, or they can misconstrue things. And of course, I do believe in pareidolia, where people are seeing things in images. But there are some images out there that just make you go, you know, maybe there's something to this. The other, to back this up, the other thing is the amount of people who see, who have sightings every year. The sightings are going up. One of the really interesting things I saw was in the Washington State sightings register. We've actually had more sightings than in the last 2 years than we have in the last 10 years. And I find that really interesting, considering that COVID, we've all been locked down, we've all been locked away. So that means less people out in the woods. That means less tourists that are trekking around in their big four drives and their noisy utes and things like that. For my American listeners, a ute is basically what you call a truck, but a little bit smaller in Australia. So it's interesting. A lot less hunting going on, so maybe they're not as scared at the moment. Who knows? But we're seeing that with all animals. And I, regardless of Bigfoot or Sasquatch or anything like that, whatever you want to call them, here in Australia, as I said before, we call them Yowie. Regardless of what you believe in them, we are seeing a global change in animals. It's almost weekly now that I'm seeing a new video of deer, bear, wild horses, you name it, coming in from out of the forests and into towns around the world. So I'm seeing more and more kangaroos getting into the cities of Australia, which they, in the country where I live, it's not uncommon, especially during drought seasons, to see roos all over your front lawn early morning, getting that nice morning dew off the grass and eating getting that nutrients and that moisture from the grass. But when we start seeing that in the city, and when we're starting to see deer migration or deer movement coming into the city, and we've seen some mountain lions as well over in Canada, and in America we've seen bears, a lot more bear heading into the city. So when we see things like that, it makes you think there is something globally happening. There's certainly a shift, whether it's the global warming, whether it's whatever you want to call it, there is something going on that's affecting the animals. And it seems to affect the animals a lot quicker than it affects us. They seem to be the early warning sign, if not just watching what's happening to nature. But it's really interesting to see why they were on the move. And maybe if Yowie, if Sasquatch is just another big animal, maybe this is why we're seeing more sightings of them as well. Maybe they're sensing something as well. And we'll get into a few more of the theories as well, and the ideas surrounding what these creatures could be. So we had a story here a couple of years back now, 2019. So I want to go over this one again. We did talk about it in a previous episode, but I thought it's always an interesting one to bring up because it's the one that got a lot of publicity here in Australia in 2019. So this happened in Queensland, and it was very terrifying for the man who retells it. So a delivery driver who says a hulking Yowie thumped the bonnet of his truck has been plagued by nightmares and says spotting the creature was the worst experience of his life. The 53-year-old has told of a terrifying encounter with Australia's version of Bigfoot while driving through a bushy part of the Gold Coast hinterland last November. The truckie, who wants to be identified only as Gary, described how he was forced to slam on the brakes when the creature emerged from the bush in broad daylight at Witherin. He eyeballed the 3-meter-tall Yowie before it thumped the bonnet of his truck before melting into the dense forest. "It was the worst thing that has ever happened to me," he told the Gold Coast Bulletin. "I tried to push it to the back of my head and think, that was freaky, it just can't be real. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was having trouble sleeping at night." Gary said that prior to his encounter, he had never believed in such creatures and was fearful of people's reactions to his story, including what his wife would make of it. But in the end, she believed him, he said. In an unfortunate coincidence, the dash cam of Gary's truck was being serviced on the day of the sighting, and he didn't manage to reach for a camera in time. The whole thing lasted for 5 seconds, and you were staring this monster in the face, watching it make sure it isn't going to step around at you. You were scared for your life, not grabbing for a camera. Gary has only driven the Beachmont Road once since his encounter and says he doesn't believe he'll ever spot his hairy friend again. I figure it is one in a million thing. Lightning doesn't strike twice. On the other hand, I would like to see it with a camera just to prove it. Gary told his story to Australian Yowie hunter Dean Harrison, who has been logging Yowie sightings across the nation for about 20 years. Mr. Harrison believes Yowies are out there, with most sightings following the line of Great Dividing Range. People should be vigilant and aware these things do exist, he told the AAP. So it's really, really interesting. This story has been around for a long, long time, and we haven't seen really a change to the story either. The gentleman, Gary, as he's known around Australia, because no one really knows his real name, is definitely a real person. Multiple news crews have interviewed him, but they've been nice enough to not release his identity, which I think is really important. It's, a lot of people don't want to be caught up in that. And, people have lost their jobs over saying they've seen ghosts. So if you get around saying that you ran into a Yowie that banged on the bonnet of your truck, it could throw you off. It could also lead to a lot of bullying and teasing and stuff like that. That's the reason why a lot of people don't come out with their stories. But there is one place you can send your stories. You can send your stories to the Oddball Aussie Podcast, where you won't be judged. No one will pick on you. No one will bully you. And if they do, they can go screw themselves. So if you have a great story, if you have an amazing story, if you have something that just isn't right and you want to get it off your chest and you want to talk about it, talk to me. Get it on the show. Get it out there. You can remain anonymous. And I'll tell you now, people who have told me their stories on the show have felt really good about it. And if you want to, you can come on the show. We can even distort your voice so that people can't pick up on your voice. But trust me, it's a big, big world out there. And no one's going to pick up on you if we tell them a pseudonym. So I'm more than happy to have you on the show. I'm more than happy just to tell your story for you if that's what you want. But definitely come on the show and talk about it. Especially if there's anyone out there with Yowie sightings from Australia, I would love to hear more of that. There's so many sightings. Like, I can go online and I can just find endless sightings of American and North American stuff. So there's a lot of even stuff in South America that I found. But the Australian stuff, there's a lot of older stuff, but not a lot of recent stuff. The other interesting thing is when you start doing, if you ever get into doing the podcasting or if you ever get into doing research around this stuff, if you're really keen on, you know, cryptids, the paranormal, if you're into ghosts and things like that, or even into aliens and UFOs, it's really easy. Actually, aliens and UFOs is a bit different because every news station is covering it nowadays. But the really interesting thing with Bigfoots or Sasquatch and, well, cryptids in general, and especially cryptids and also ghosts, is that currently, if you go through Google, it's actually really hard to find this stuff because the algorithms they use are starting to call out fake news. So fake news could include even things like folklore stories are harder to find than they used to be. So I use, and they're not a sponsor of the show, but if they want to sponsor a show, I would happily do it. I use a website called DuckDuckGo. And DuckDuckGo does, as soon as I put in some of the theories that I needed to find the data on, it came up straight away. First page, I found these theories, a whole treasure trove of theories. So but as soon as I put Bigfoot theories or Bigfoot hair sample theories is what I was looking for into Google, it just came up with the craziest stuff, like silly stuff, you know, costumes and gags and stuff like that. So yeah, so DuckDuckGo, not a sponsor, but definitely check them out. Really good for as a research tool for the up-and-coming researchers or even the researchers who are still in the game for a long, long time. So we spoke of Dean Harrison. Now, Dean Harrison is a, well, in Australia at least, a very well-known cryptozoologist, and especially around the study of Yowie. So he's a Queensland-based Yowie researcher, and it's claimed he's uncovered fresh evidence that Australia's version of Bigfoot actually does exist. Now, when it comes to Dean, Dean is a big character, and I'd love to get him on the show. So if anyone watches the show, or if anyone can get this episode to him, I'd love to get Dean to come on and have a chat, and let's talk about how your Yowie theories and the encounters that you've had, Dean, because I'd really appreciate that. I think following your work for a long, long time, and it'd be really good to sort of ask a few questions. So especially recently. So this happened... the news started coming out about this May 24th, 2021, but I do know from, I think, Dean's team, a couple of Dean's team members appeared on Bigfoot Odyssey. So another great Sasquatch show that we're going to talk about at the end of this episode. But Bigfoot Odyssey, definitely go check them out. Kerry and his team are just brilliant. And I believe that some of Dean's team appeared on Bigfoot Odyssey, and we're talking about this, and it's really, really interesting. They've found what appears to be some thermal imaging footage of what could be a Sasquatch, so or a Yowie in Australian terms. So Dean Harrison, who has been tracking the elusive creature for decades, released new video from a recent trip to the Gold Coast hinterland, producing what he said is the most significant evidence of the Yowie's existence to date. The clip taken on May the 4th at Springbok National Park using thermal technology shows what Mr. Harrison said are 2 9-feet-tall Yowies in the wild. Speaking to Sunrise this morning, so Sunrise, I wish Dean hadn't have done this because... honestly, they never take researchers seriously, regardless whether it's ghosts or anything like that. The idiots on that show are just they're a typical cackling morning show where everything's just Bigfoot. No, it's cringy. And Dean, you've got a lot better places where you can tell your story where people will actually take you seriously. So Mr. Harrison said the night vision shows something hugging a tree before two huge Yowies step out into view. We estimated that they must have been at least 9 feet tall, so 2.75 meters, and they made no noise arriving and no noise leaving the area, he said. We wouldn't have known if anything was there if it wasn't for the thermal cameras. And you know what? Thermal cameras and tech are becoming so much more accessible now. And people have always said, why have we never seen these things? Why isn't there enough good footage? Well, you got to imagine some of the cameras that we've been using over the years have been pretty garbage, really, in the grand scheme of things. And even now, when you've got you try taking a picture at a zoo of an animal that's say 300 meters away with the zoom on your camera, the animal could be anything once you finish zooming in, and you know what's in there. The little sign on the bloody fence tells you this is a zebra, and you could zoom in on it and no one would believe you that you took a photo of a zebra because you'll barely see the thing. It'll pixelate like crazy. Some of the new cameras that are coming out, brilliant, but the thermal imaging cameras are making a big difference. So Mr. Harrison has led several overnight Yowie hunting expeditions over the last month to the national park, told the show he was excited to make the major find. Sightings of the hairy ape-like creature, common in Aboriginal legends, go back hundreds of years, though there remains no concrete proof they actually exist. Mr. Harrison told the Sunday Mail, "The equipment we have now is stuff we couldn't have dreamt of back in the 90s when I started. So I can assure people that this is just the beginning." And, you know, that's right. The use of drones, and now we're seeing people using drones with the thermal imaging cameras in the drones. Like, things are getting interesting. In the footage, you'll see the Yowies hugging the trees in an attempt to hide themselves, Mr. Harrison said. Later, they placed 4 markers directly on the tracks where Buck, Mr. Harrison's assistant, was standing the previous night. The markers were not there on our way in and were not there at 2 a.m., but they were there at 6 a.m. on our way out. It is a very remote location with lots of virgin scrub that feels like climbing a ladder when passing through. There's definitely no humans in the area, just yowies. The most recent report sighting in Queensland before Mr. Harrison's was in Bundaberg earlier this year. Mr. Harrison said he was undeterred by people who dismiss the footage as doctored, or they claim the creatures are mythical, saying that those who have had encounters motivate him to keep searching. I couldn't care less if people refuse to acknowledge their existence. I'm not here to convince them. I'm here to provide the facts, he said. Encounters are often life-changing experiences, and I do this to provide evidence for victims to vindicate them that their claims are real. And yeah, that's a really good point. The way people are treated after they've seen something, or after they come out and say they've seen something, is often it's not why you come out. People don't say they've had experience because of what they've seen people go through. Countless tauntings, bullyings, you know, it's not a fun thing to come out with. So I can understand that. All right, so we've got time for one more. We're going to talk about this is another Queensland sighting. You know, this one sort of just popped up to me. This happened in April, and this was the Goomery Yowie sighting. Now, this one comes thanks to yowiesightings.com. So a great site, really, really excellent setup of their imagery and stuff. I really enjoy it. And they use the maps and everything to really show you where everything is, and really helpful for those of us who like to research stuff. But it also gives hikers and anyone who wants to check out some really interesting locations, the accurate locations of where these things happen. So it's really good to go and check it out. So the Goomery Yowie Encounter, April 2021 in Queensland. Julie lives on a rural property near the township of Goomery in the South Burnett region of Queensland, Australia. She has had at least one yowie frequent her property in recent times and caused concern for her and her young son's safety. This is Julie's report she gave to the yowiesightings.com. I live on a fairly big rural property with my husband and 8-year-old son. My husband is a fly-in, fly-out worker in the mining industry, and he is away in another state for periods of time, leaving just me, my son Tim, our cattle dog, horse, and some cattle at the property. I love the serenity of our place, and our nearest neighbours are just a few kilometres away, or should I say I loved the serenity until recently. One of my son's favourite things to do in the afternoons is going for walks through the bush with me and our cattle dog, checking out the dams and looking for animals like goannas, pigs and birds, etc. we have on the property. In recent times, I began hearing some strange sounds in the bush when we have been returning later in the evening, which I didn't pay much attention to. Some of the sounds were like a single deep huff, and having cattle on the property, I just thought this was them, although it sounded much deeper. Also noticed something moving the bushes behind us on several occasions as we were walking back to the house. When I would stop to look back into the scrub behind us, the movement and crunching of the bush would stop and then begin again when we continued walking. I thought this must have been a single cow, as this is the only thing that would disturb the bush like that. We're used to hearing many different sounds from animals in the bush. When this continued on several of our hikes, I became really inquisitive and at no stage felt any fear, as we have never had anything to be fearful of out here. And by the way, yeah, I'm going to cut in on this story. Australia doesn't have big creatures like this. We don't have native bears or anything like that. So to hear those sort of sounds in a fairly quiet area, it's in a fairly dense area too, it can be a bit spooky. I mean, you've got kangaroos out there, but whereabouts she is, you know, especially if she owns a farm, they tend to keep their distance. If you've got cattle, they can be chased off a bit, because normally tractors and working going on. So it does change how many animals you will get around the property. On one of our walks, we were heading back home and the movement in the bushes behind us began again. And I said to Tim, let's go and see what is back there. On this occasion, our cattle dog had stayed by our side, whereas usually he is the way ahead of us and beats us home. We started to walk back along the track to where we were hearing the bush moving, and I noticed that our dog was not with us but standing on the track back where we turned around. No amount of coaxing would get him to move, and the more I tried to coax him, the more anxious and submissive he looked. He did not want to come down to us. I thought he must have hurt himself. So we walked back to him, and just as we did, we heard the scrub behind us erupt, just like a big bull running through it, although it wasn't the galloping you hear when you hear cattle running. Tim and I both looked back to see what the kerfuffle was, but we didn't see anything, and we turned our head back to our dog, and he was gone, and we eventually found him back at the home on the veranda. So already a bit spooky there. It was while this was happening that my son started to wake me up on several nights, distraught and saying that a big black face was looking in his window. He did not want to stay in his room, even though I would take him back in and look out the window and tell him that there's nothing there. I just dismissed this as fantasy, as he had been watching shows on TV about monkeys and the like, and I thought he had been dreaming about this. Tim's bedroom window would be a good 6.5 feet off the ground, due to the house being on stumps. And on one of the last occasions, he told me about this, and I went around the house to his window the next morning. I couldn't see how anyone would be looking in there being that high off the ground, but I did notice the ground was disturbed with some deepish depressions, but nothing to really make me think something was standing there. Then one evening, we were sitting at our dinner table when we heard a dog barking way off in the distance. It was really going crazy and it was disturbing me. I immediately went out onto our veranda and I couldn't see our dog, and the terrible barking stopped. Suddenly, everything was quiet. Our dog always stayed out on the veranda until myself and Tim went to bed, and because he was old, we let him stay inside in our laundry. He had never run off in the night. No matter how much I called, there was no sign of him. I was beginning to get a little spooked in the circumstances, and I decided I would go and search for our dog in the morning if he didn't come back. Early the next morning, I couldn't find our dog anywhere around the house or the sheds, so I headed out on my own to see if I could make sense of where he had gone. He had disappeared on one occasion a few years ago when he had run off during the day chasing kangaroos through the bush. When he didn't come back, I eventually found him caught up on the barbed wire of one of our fences. He had tried to run through it. His collar had gotten snagged by some wire, and he was sitting there patiently waiting to be rescued, much to my amusement. I continued to look through the bushes along the track, and I began to feel very uneasy as I approached one of our dams. As I walked through the trees along the side of the dam, I was scanning my view across the opposite side, and I instantly became very frightened. Across the dam, standing amongst trees in the dappled sunlight, but in full view, was the most gigantic hairy animal. It was standing like a statue on two legs, and its gaze was directly at me. I grabbed the tree beside me in shock. I could see the breeze moving the dark brown hair that covered the animal, and it just stood absolutely still. My mind was racing at this stage. I'm thinking, is my son okay back at the house? I'm thinking, do I run back to the house? I felt I was in grave danger and would not be able to outrun this huge creature, which would have been at least 8 to 9 foot tall. I began to feel very ill as I continued staring intently. Some sunlight was on the animal, and I could see it had hands. I could see its chest skin through the hair, and I could see its darkish, broad face. I was shaking, and tears began to roll down my face at this stage. I was saying to myself, how could this be? I was frozen with fear, trying to decide what to do. It all became too much for me, and I turned and bolted back towards the house, bawling my eyes out in sheer terror as I ran through the bush. I ran the entire 500 or 600 metres back to the house, got inside, locked the door, and found my son watching TV. I sat beside him in tears, and I immediately rang my husband and blubbered out what had just happened. He was as confused as me, and we agreed to get our neighbour, Jeff, to come over, which he did thankfully. Jeff looked startled as I described what I had just seen, and he asked could I have mistaken the creature for a horse, but he soon stopped this line of discussion when he saw how distressed I was. I told Jeff where I had seen the creature, and he agreed to take a look armed with his rifle. When he returned, he explained how he looked around the dam and found that what he thought was a collection of very large partial footprints that looked like they had toes. He said the width of the toe impressions were about as wide as two normal feet. Tim and I stayed with Jeff and his wife that night and the next. After I shared this with my family and some further discussions, I now believe I saw a Yowie, something I have no idea of until now. We thank Julie for reporting and the detail leading up to her sighting. Julie explained that she has plans to move away from the area as soon as possible, as she doesn't feel safe at the property on her own. Incidentally, Julie has not found her dog still. When Yowie sightings visited the location recently, Julie was in the process of having some security cameras installed, which we suggested when we first spoke to her. There is strong anecdotal evidence that Yowies avoid areas with security cameras, possibly because they can see the infrared lighting, which can cause some alarm and distress to them. We're unable to identify any footprints due to the rain damage on the ground around the dam. So if you're from Australia, you've had a sighting, a Yowie sighting, contact info@yowiesightings.com and get your story in over there. But also, yeah, make sure you send your story to good old Uncle Oz as well. I want to hear your stories too. All right. So now we're going to listen to a bit of music. I've got to sing a bit of eggnog, and then we'll get back on with the show. So I figured we'd play a song by the New Mystical Troubadours. I do enjoy their music. And this song is named pretty much where we want to see the Sasquatch, in our rear view mirror. So enjoy this, and I'll be back very, very soon.
Just calling, we're riding the moment.
Alrighty then, welcome back to the Oddball Aussie Podcast. We are talking about Yowies, Bigfoots, Sasquatch, all that good stuff. Okay, so where were we up to? Well, we just finished reading some eyewitness testimonies, and we're going to go dive into a few theories and a couple of facts here in a second. So once again, if you want to share some stories with me or if you want to have a chat, that's theoddballaussie@hotmail.com. And if you want to have a chat on Twitter as well, that's the at Aussie Oddball rather. And that's the same on Instagram and also on the Tee Public store where you can buy the merch, the t-shirts, the stickers. I recommend the stickers. They're nice and cheap and that you can slap them on the boot of your car and make people know that you listen to a great podcast. Well, hopefully it's great. I hope you all enjoy it so far. Right. So we've been going through a few of the things here, a few of the different stories, and a lot of information is out there. If you want to check out the BFRO, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, once again, I'm not sponsored by any of these groups. I don't even know any of these groups personally. So if this group is fighting with another group, I know it happens. Well, it happens a lot in the ufology. So with the UFO people, there's a lot of interfighting and different beliefs. So no disrespect to anyone. That's just a group that I've been using a bit of their data to put this together. And another group as well that I'll have to shout out is the Sasquatch Research Association. They've got some really good stuff on there and some older stuff on there too that you can go and check out. So, if you want to look at some really interesting stuff about the Washington area, you can check out the they've got a whole section on Washington in the Bigfoot reports and sightings on the Story Maps page, and that's part of Washington State's page. Right, so in Washington, here's an interesting little number. So Washington sort of is a benchmark for a lot of the sightings that are seen in the US. If there's sightings in Washington, there seems to be a lot of matching data for the other areas, like Pacific Northwest, all those sort of areas. So it's really good to have a look at. Now, we haven't seen a spike like this, like what we're seeing right now, since the last time it spiked in a big way was probably, it was about 2014, and it went up to about 20 sightings. So we're sitting at about 15 sightings this year alone, and that's in one section of Washington. So where we had a low amount of sightings back in, say, the 90s and the 80s, the sightings started picking up in the 2000s and really spiked out 2005 to 2007 with an average of 30 to 40 sightings. Now we're seeing it pick up again, and that data hasn't all been completed yet, so there's still a lot more that could be looked into. So as recent as October 10th, 2020, there's a report. This report was report 67451 in number. I don't know if that corresponds to how many. I don't think it does. It could be a national number maybe. But the report says, Oz deer hunting near Ellensburg, specifically GMU 328, Nanium unit last October 2020. On the fifth day of my hunt, I was looking over an open area that butted up to the woods, and I saw a shape at the tree line that was standing upright and appeared to be a person in a ghillie suit. I thought that was odd because it is required to wear a orange hunting vest during this hunt. I then looked down to retrieve my binoculars that were resting on my chest, and I raised them up so I can scan the area, and the person or thing was gone. I scanned the area with my eyes and binoculars and did not see it again. The person or thing I saw was approximately 300 yards away from me, and there weren't many hunters out on this day. I then moved on via foot to an area I haven't hunted yet, and after about 10 minutes walk, I saw a track on the ground that looked like a human bare footmark in the dirt. I took a photo of it and looked around the area for more tracks, but could not locate any. The area is mostly logged area with short felled grass and just a little bit of dirt in the area. The size of footprint was only about a size 11 size foot. I then continued my hunt and left the next morning. In December 2020, on the 16th, another report says I went on a six-mile hike starting at the Marble Mountain Snowpark via the Warm Flows route south of Mount Helens, at Mount St. Helens, rather. At 9:30 a.m., half a mile up the trail, I stopped for some water and I stepped over to look at the rock pit. While stepping back to the trail, I heard loud wood knocking sounds for about 10 to 15 seconds. I listened for a few more seconds and then got my phone out to record the knocking sounds. In my recordings, you can hear one powerful knock followed by faint knocking sounds. In my longer video, I believe three different knocking locations can be detected, starting with one loud strike of a tree, followed by faint knocking, and then more muffled hit, followed by the same faint knocking sounds. Hoping to video something moving around, I decided to continue my hike, going up another 2.5 miles until inclement weather rolled in. I made it back to my truck at 4 p.m. without seeing or hearing anything else. With me being the only one parked at the snowpark when I started my hike, it's clear nobody was there, was near me at the time of the knocking. Forest Road 83 is gated for the winter with only snowpark open. So for those of you who don't really understand the knocking, who might be new to all of this, it is believed that Sasquatch use wood knocking to communicate with each other. Never proven, obviously, but it is a well-known technique, and researchers will go out there and wood knock as well. But mind you, a lot of researchers have different opinions about it. So some researchers won't wood knock at all. But the reports around Mount St. Helens, rather, I'll get that right one day. They're actually pretty legit. Like, there's a lot of reports out there and a lot of good data coming out of Mount St. Helens. So if you're in that area over in America, yeah, go check it out. Might be a good spot to start your Sasquatch research if you live there. So moving on to a little bit of data about Sasquatch. So Sasquatch are also known as ape men, and they're from all around the world. So Almas is a name of so here's a bunch of names. These are going to be a bunch of names that you can all go and research. And there's a fun fact. So this is coming from the AMNH.org, and it's their Beyond Bigfoot section of the website. So they're labeling it for you who believe in Bigfoot, don't take offense to it, because it is under mythical creatures. So an Almas is from the mountains of Central Asia and the Altai Mountains and Tian Shan ranges in particular. In the Tian Shan Mountains themselves live wild people who have nothing in common with other human beings. A pelt covers their entire body of these creatures. They run around in the hills like animals and eat foliage and grass and whatever else they can find. This was written by a German traveler, Johann Schultberger, circa 1400. So there's a really strong belief that in many areas, many places, that Sasquatch is actually a primitive human being. And last maybe bloodlines of a surviving race. Some people think maybe an ancestral race that has just, that's why they might not be, they might be disproportioned and things like that. But then that raises questions of, you know, further medical treatment would be needed. The sustainability would not be there. So that one sort of falls down. But a lot of the areas in Europe, the bigger areas in Russia, there's belief that there's a lot of wild people still living out there. And then we've got the Kemosit in east central Kenyan forest. Some witnesses say that the Kemosit looks like a hyena or a bear and call it a Nandi bear after a Kenyan tribe that lives in its reported range. The Nandi people, however, consider the creature to be an enormous, ferocious primate that enjoys eating the brains of its victims. Lovely. The Hibogon. The Hibogon is from the Japanese mountain ranges and the Hibiyama Mountains in the Hiroshima and is found in Hiroshima in particular. According to Japanese legends, the Hibogon stands only 5 feet tall and shorter than most other Bigfoot-like creatures, but its footprints are enormous, 2 or 3 times the size of humans. Yeah, so a really sort of disproportioned creature. The Mapinguari, I believe, is from central Brazil. In 1937, the Mapinguari reportedly went on a three-week rampage in central Brazil. Witnesses reported that over 100 cows were found slaughtered, each with its massive tongue ripped from its body. And yes, for those who don't know, the cow's tongue is huge and continues right down their throat. So, yeah, if they're finding that the cows don't have tongues, that's a fair bit of power to be able to do that. The muscle of the tongue is quite strong. One that many of you might have already heard, the Orang Pendek, the Kerinci Sablat National Park in central Sumatra, Indonesia. We have talked about the Orang Pendek in the past. It means short person in Indonesian, an appropriate name considering its supposedly short stature and human-like face. Local folklore holds that the elusive creature walk with backwards-pointing feet to confuse anyone trying to track them. Now, it's really interesting. Many of the Asian areas, we see the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch type folklore, but we don't see them as being very big. They're quite small, sometimes even seen as pygmies. So it's very interesting, but they do get categorized under the same sort of ape-like human that's never been discovered. Then we got the wild men of Borneo. Obviously, in Borneo. Reports of the wild men of Borneo probably referred to large hairy primates called orangutans. In Indonesia, orangutan means man of the forest. So a lot of people believe that they were mistaken for orangutans, but there's a lot of other people who say that, no, the orangutans were just another species that was there. You got the Yeren. The Yeren from remote forests and mountains of the Hubei province in China. According to Chinese legend, when the Yeren encounters a human, it grabs him or her tightly by the arms and faints. Overwhelmed with joy, still holding on, it awakens and eats its victims. And then you got the Yeti from the Himalayas. Westerners often call the Yeti the abominable snowman of Tibet. Yeah, a lot of sightings of it. A lot of people saying they find prints, but never been proven, obviously. None of these really have been proven. Then you've got the Yowie from Australia. And the Australian Yowie, particularly in eastern parts of the central of the continent, south and central coastal regions of New South Wales and Queensland's Gold Coast. Often 3,000 distinct Yowie sightings have been reported in the Blue Mountain area of west of Sydney in the past few decades. So 3,000 distinct sightings in the Blue Mountains area. That's pretty crazy. And that matches up with Dean's theories on it going down through the Great Dividing Range, because that runs straight through the Blue Mountains. So, yeah, a little bit of folklore history there for you about where these stories come from and what they are in different countries. So this might seem a bit backwards, because normally we'd do what they are and where they come from at the start, but I figured you wanted to hear a few Bigfoot story first, so I thought we'd cover them off. But what is the Sasquatch anyway? So what can they be made up of? So normally a dull gray or dark color. The hair can be anything from orange to reds to blacks to grays, and even they've been known to be seen as a very light color as well. Yetis have been spoken of as having white fur. It's really interesting. It's a lot of people just there's certain areas they'll say that the Yowie's there or the Bigfoot's there, Sasquatch there, have a certain hair color. So it's quite interesting how diverse they really are, considering we haven't found one. While hair varies in color, it has been reported that adult Sasquatch have gray tips very similar to that of an elderly ape. Unlike most primates, purported Sasquatch hair has been put under intense scrutiny and under microscopic examination to reveal the hair is without a medulla, unlike human hair. Its odor. A lot of people say they have a very strong sulfuric smelling odor, and it could be a discharge as well that's coming from the skin of the creature. Obviously, once again, we have no proof of that, but there is The proof we do have is that every time there's been a sighting, in especially around Florida, there's been a very foul smell in the air. So that's where they get their name Skunk Ape from. Skunk apes are seen in a lot in the Florida area and stuff like that. So it's really interesting. And going through all this, like, they've obviously like an upright, tall, ape-like creature. So what are some theories about what they are? Well, there's the North American ape hypothesis, and this states that this is an ape that came across the Great Land Bridge when it was connected, and what we're seeing is the remaining creatures. It's also been referred back to the megafauna called the Giganto theory, which is that this is a carry-on from Gigantopithecus blackie. This massive creature went extinct a long time ago, but some research speculate that Giganto may have evolved into what we call the Yeti in Asia. And some people say if it could happen there, why couldn't it happen over here, or over in America or in Australia? Then we have people just saying they're flesh and bone, they're their own thing. Some people say they're human, so they're wild men that have just bred and continue to live off the grid. Many people say that it is a forest spirit, so many people, that's how they attribute the whole disappearing act thing, is that it's they're actually a spirit of some sort. Then many other people say they're an alien or a robot sent by aliens, which to me, I'm sorry, but just get it out of there. Just let's stick with the, I know it's an interesting thing to think about, but, I don't know. It's not one up on my list anyway. And others say it's just pure mythology created by humans to explain away certain stories, or maybe it's a cultural memory from when we weren't the only humanoids on the planet. Now, there's been a few really interesting theories when it comes to the hair and the fur of the Sasquatch, and the people over at the Bigfoot Odyssey, they had some really good discussion about this in a few of their shows, and also found on their latest documentary, they really went into that as well. So one theory is that they use chromatic aberrations to throw us off. So they might have a lighter colored fur. And this lighter colored fur, when they stand in the forest, you can see that it picks up and reflects the green light coming through the foliage. So they blend in a lot better. So if you look at some monkeys that you see in zoos, and you look at them and go, they're like a lemur, they're a white monkey, or black and white monkey. Well, lemur's not a monkey, but so creatures like lemurs that are black and white, or creatures like your spider monkeys and stuff, and your howler monkeys, they've got the white stripe on some species of them. And people say, why would they have this white stripe? The same thing happens with many other creatures that live in forested areas. And if you look at them in the daylight, with the sun coming through the foliage, all that white bounces back to our eyes as green. And the black just blends in with the gaps in the trees and with the tree trunks and things like that. So they can hide really, really well, actually. And they also rely, this could be, we know that many animals rely on this chromatic distortion, also known as spherochromatism, to stop our lenses from focusing on all the colors at one point. So you can see this in, imagine the 3D images. Remember the old 3D images that we had when we were kids? I remember I had dinosaur books that had you had to wear the red and blue lenses, the red and blue glasses to look at them. And the chromatic aberrations on the page would come together and overlap, and you'd see the image properly, and it would look like it was moving. It was 3D. Very similar sort of thing here. The different colors are separating. Now, I'm not going to go into the science of it because I don't really know the science of it, but the color spectrums are separating. And you can see this on some really old photography. We may also see this in animals with different colored hairs and furs that are created to do this. They're created to throw our eyes off. Really, really interesting stuff. And then there's also the chromostereopsis, which is a visual illusion where impressions of depth is conveyed in two-dimensional color images. So I can link up what one of these illusions are. But essentially what it means is that you're using different colors to make other colors stand out and feel like one is in the forefront, one is in the back, is further back, but in actual fact, they're both at the exact same level. So this can be done with greens as well. Not often as seen in animals. We might see this in squids. It's fairly rare to see it on land animals, but it's quite interesting. We do see it in many different things. We see it in, there's lots of artwork that they use this to, so you can set depth. A lot of the old stained glass windows and stuff, they would use this aberration, this chromostereopsis to make an image look almost 3D. And this is all reliant on the cones and the rods in your eyes. Really, really interesting stuff. Worth diving into on your own. I mean, I'm not a medical show, so I don't want to go too far into that, but I find it really interesting to look at. So another theory, we're going over an hour on this show. So another theory that come up that I've been having a really good think about is, so they had this theory of the camouflage theory, or a theory that the Bigfoot could go basically invisible. And people were saying that they would be there 1 minute, and then the next minute, the Bigfoot would be invisible. So a lot of people say that they vanish in front of hikers. So this is coming from the Sasquatch Research Association. So here's a first-hand report. After returning from a long hike, the group was stunned when a 9 to 10 foot Sasquatch stepped out in front of them a short distance away. Then, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bigfoot completely disappeared in front of the witness. The witnesses insisted that it literally dematerialized. Mrs. Jeffrey reported that she was so awed at what she saw that when they returned home, she did not leave the house for 2 weeks. The woman was in such total state of shock that she did not want to return to the area for some time. So it's really, really interesting. We see multiple stories of this happening where a creature, a Sasquatch-type creature, walks in front of people and then just vanishes. And it's quite interesting because we have reports from groups that have seen this happen to them. So are these people just telling stories? Possibly. Or it's real. That's what it comes down to. It's either real or it's not. There is a gray area there. It could be a mistake. It could be fatigue. It could be a lot of other things that might not be the people purposely trying to fake something. Now, this brings into a very interesting idea of invisibility. How would they go invisible? This is where people bring in all their alien stuff and their cybernetics and all this. Others say that it is a genetic thing that just occurs, and that where people see this happen a lot of time is in dense jungle or dense forest. And look, we've got to look at what we know from animals that are around right now. Like if we're going blood and bone, if we're just going to focus on blood and bone at the moment, we need to look at what other animals do in society, in the wild. So there really isn't many animals that are mammals that walk around that do this. As we said, we had the chromatic aberrations when we look at certain apes. But that doesn't mean going invisible completely. So if we were to look at the blood and bone side of this, maybe that isn't a true story. Maybe they are telling fibs, or maybe it's something we haven't discovered yet. The other side of this is that it could be an illusion that they've figured out how to do on us, where they just disappear. There have been in history, tribes, if you look at some of the techniques of the tribes down in South America. There's a lot of stories from the Spaniards who talk about the locals being able to disappear into the jungle and then reappear in an instant. Being able to stand right in front of one and not even know they're there. These are stories from what humans are able to do. So maybe this could be something that they're doing. Maybe they've figured out a way to be so stealthy and to understand where they are. The other thing is when you're not looking for it, it's easier to blend in. So if you think you're looking for something in a certain direction, you're focused on that. I think in the Bigfoot Odyssey, they make the reference to natives in America having to duck down into ditches when the cavalry were coming in, chasing them. And the cavalry would run straight past them because they weren't looking on the ground. They weren't looking. They didn't think that anyone would stop running. So they just kept on going over them and they would run back and just could not find them. So these are things I could imagine, like if these creatures have been around, they've been around for probably longer than we have. So that's a bonus that they would have. There's footage and there's images you can look up of military people and they'll be standing in an image, standing there, not laying down, not crouched or anything. They'll be standing in the image that I show you and you won't be able to see them. They're that well blended in. They know the land so well, or they know how to camouflage themselves so well. Now, let's get into another side of what this could be. There's a bit of a theory getting around there, knocking about, that we could be looking at a hollow type of hair. So similar to that we see in polar bears and a few other animals in the colder areas, maybe we're looking at a clear, almost translucent, very bright, hollow, tubular hair that they have, where when the sun reflects off it, if they're in dense jungle or if they're in forests, it almost looks like they're invisible. So instead of being instead of physically just camouflaging or going invisible, we just can't see them properly because the way the sun is shining through and creating, once again, that chromatic aberration. But that would have to mean that the hair would have to be some hollow type of hair for that to happen. And this does exist. We do know this exists in animals out there. And we do know that polar bear hair is very similar to this, not exactly what we're talking about, but it can be very, very close to it. So if you see polar bears that are in zoos, they're not going to be that pure white that you see on when you see them on the pictures from National Geographic and everything. And that's because their hair is taking on the colors and the aberrations that we can see around them where they are. And unless they're in a pure white area, when we may not see them, we may not, that hair might not pick up that coloring. It may not reflect what they're being surrounded in. It's their own way of naturally camouflaging for when they hunt. It's really, really interesting. So I push you to look into it and have a look at that because, a few of us have been talking about it and sort of wargaming it and theory basing it. You got to think about, like, if this was real, if these are real, then what exists that can do what they do? We do know that different creatures exist that can do what they do. Many times, those creatures aren't the same, even the same species, aren't even the same ballpark of our species, especially when we look at what squids can do. And a lot of what squids can do would explain what a Sasquatch can do. But obviously no reports of a Sasquatch with tentacles. And I hope we never have reports of that because that sounds freaking terrifying. That's when we look at what animals in the ocean can do with changing their colors and stuff. But we see that in lizards as well. But once again, we're not seeing scaly Sasquatch. None of the reports talk about scaly Sasquatch. Once again, that's a terrifying thought as well. So when we war game, we've got to think about what do we have that could do and do similar things? And yeah, I mean, when we look at gorillas and stuff, they don't have a lot of these cloaking techniques, but they do have the knowledge of where to hide, where to go to, and what to do. If a big defense for the whole why haven't we found a dead one in the forest yet is you go walking in the forest, it's very rare, if not impossible, to find the skeleton of a bear. It's because the bears just don't die in easy to get to tracks. They don't want to be eaten as they're dying by other bears or other animals. So they go off to areas where we have a hard time getting to, or areas that they know that we don't. Another thing we see a lot of people say, and you've got to be aware of this too, I think it's really interesting. When you see tracks and you've got the same type of path that runs for about 100 meters and it's nothing but clay sort of mud, and you find a Bigfoot track and it's pointing in the direction of the track, of the walking track, walking trail, I should say, to separate the words track. When we see that, a lot of skeptics will go, well, where's the other tracks? And they're not wrong. Where would the other tracks be? It's when I see people who have taken photos or casts of tracks that go across the trail, and in that case, maybe only 1 foot would even have to touch the ground. And it goes off into the grass after that. And a lot of times you're not going to make footprints in grassed up areas. You might make marks or trails, but you're not going to make a perfect track. So there's always reasons behind these things. And we do need to weigh up the for and against of why these things could be real and why they could be fake as well. I genuinely believe that people are seeing something out there. That's what's got me so interested in this, is that I look at the stuff from Bigfoot Odyssey and some of the other stuff coming out from other groups, and I do believe in it. So while we're on that, we'll also have a chat about a couple of documentaries that I've been following. So the first one, and you've all got to go and check out their website, check out their YouTube channel, I should say. It's Bigfoot Odyssey, and they're great. Honestly, Kerry and his team are just amazing. They really know what they're doing. They're just really fun and interesting to listen to. They know so much about the research behind doing this. And they never try to say that this is 100% what it is. Their guests might get a little bit like that sometimes, but Kerry and his team are really, really professional with this. And they've got more and more shows coming out weekly. They're just really, really good to listen to. And they always say, look, we don't know exactly what this is. We don't know. We don't have proof. We're only guessing. We're only assuming, things like that. They know that you can't just come out and say all Bigfoot, all Sasquatch do wood knocking. We can't assume that because we don't know. And they're really good like that. They're really accurate. So good work to Kerry and his team. And the documentary they did is called 168 Hours, a new Bigfoot documentary, 2021. 168 Hours, great documentary. I think I'm up to my fourth time now of watching it. It's not going to, you know, for a lot of people aren't going to watch and go, yep, I believe in Bigfoot now. But a lot of people who do believe in it, a lot of people who do follow the research, or a lot of people who are open to it are going to look at this and go, wow, that's some really interesting ways of looking at things. That's some really interesting photos in there. And it's going to make people go, well, okay, I could see why people would think this, and it may even get more people questioning, maybe I need to go out and do my own research. So good work, Kerry, and all the team over at Bigfoot Odyssey. I love your stuff, and they're so interactive with their audiences too. Another thing that's really good about them, they do interact with their listeners. So keep up the good work. And the second one, a bit of a bigger name, and that's Les Stroud. I know he's come under fire a bit from a few of the certain characters that he interviewed during his last Sasquatch streams, his shows that he did, and I get that. I get there's a lot of animosity towards certain people in the Bigfoot realm. So when he did Bigfoot Survive Man, a lot of people took it badly with certain episodes. I just enjoyed watching it because, once again, it's a great show just to see some different wilderness, and it's just really interesting just to sit back and watch. It's not the Survive Man stuff that we're all used to, but it is really, really interesting nonetheless. And look, he hasn't gone completely off the scales as much as Joe Rogan wanted to say that he has. He tried to say that, look, he used to be really good, but now he's gone crazy because of Bigfoot. He still does a heap of his Survivor Man stuff. He still does a heap of his foraging. The information on there is still great. So even if you don't like the Survivor Man Bigfoot stuff, still check out all of his stuff, like preparing for disasters, his keynote speeches that he does. He does foraging tips. He's even got some recipes and stuff that you can make out in the field. So really interesting stuff and a really good person. He's one of those people that you can listen to and you can tell he's doing this just because he thinks it's the right thing to do. He thinks it's the right thing to teach people information. And a lot of really good survival tips on there. But recently he's been doing his Sasquatch Chronicles, and his season one is out, and really interesting so far. Not too over the top. I mean, there is some of that whole, what was that? What was that? Like, that does happen. I mean, they're going to do that. They need to keep audiences in suspense at times. There is a little bit of that whole using ambience to, oh, did you hear that? Yeah, I heard that. But the good thing about Les is he calls everything out. If he thinks there's bullshit, he doesn't turn into a big yelling argument there on the ground, but he will have that conversation with the audience. He will say it in the voiceover. You know, the person I was out with, he said that he heard something, but really, I think it was just a puma or something like that. He's really good at acknowledging that. But when he does get hyped up about something, you can tell that he might jump the gun a little bit. But still a great series, and I'm really, really enjoying it. So if I could get Dean on the show at some point, Dean Harrison on the show, that'd be brilliant. If I could get Kerry on the show, or if I could get onto Kerry's show on Bigfoot Odyssey, that would be awesome as well, but definitely check out their show. You'll love it. Actually, Bigfoot Odyssey, I will say, is one of the only other shows that I do pay a subscription fee to, because it's so low. It's such a low subscription fee, and you get so much out of it. They're such a good, genuine people, nice people. Even if you don't believe what they're saying, the conversation is really, really entertaining and really interesting. And if I could get an interview with Les Stroud, oh my God, that would be, oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be so cool. So I might do a bit of this every so often, a few of the Bigfoot and Sasquatch updates. So probably won't go as long as this has. So this will be, what, about an hour and 20, hour and 30. So they won't go as long as this, but it's definitely something I want to do and keep up with it, because it is one of the first things that got me into all this, was working with a Yowie research team. As much as we didn't find anything, as much as I think some of them were full of shit, the ones who were genuine, the ones who were good, I thought they were really good people. And I thought they taught me a lot about nature and a lot about respecting the land. And look, at the end of the day, if nothing else comes from this, if the only thing you get out of it is you learn to be in awe of what nature is, to love what's out there in nature, and to appreciate the planet and look after it better, who cares if people want to run around thinking there's a Bigfoot out there if you don't believe in it? If these people are teaching good ways on how to look after the planet, good ways on how to look after animals that are out there, they're promoting things like not polluting and not just going out and shooting random animals and overhunting and stuff like that, it's a good thing. Like, you know, we could use it. Sasquatch could be our eco warrior. He could be our Captain Planet of the future. But all right, I'm going to wrap that up right now, and I hope you all enjoyed it. And I hope you check out the website, the podcast, and on the Twitter website, I should say, at Aussie Oddball. Also on Instagram, at Aussie Oddball. The Tee Public store, buy some stickers, buy some shirts, all that cool stuff. Phone covers. You can also send me your stories or have a chat with me on the Oddball Aussie at hotmail.com, and I'll answer all your questions there. Also, you can have a chat with me anytime you like on Twitter. I do accept direct messages, and make sure you leave a review on the Apple iTunes app or whatever app you're using. If they give you well, it'd be the Apple Music app, Apple Podcast app, whatever they're doing nowadays, go and leave a review wherever you are. And if you leave a review, take a little screenshot of it and send it to me, and I'll read it out on the show, because I don't always see all the reviews that go up. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it, and look after each other and stay safe out there in the weird. Good night. We'll be right back.